This morning I wanted to begin our time together in God's Word by asking you a question. And the question is just this, and it's up on the screen. What or who shapes your life? What or who shapes your life? Over the years, and having lived a number of different places, from coast to coast, Midwest, Indiana, the list goes on, I've had a number of conversations that tend to get back to certain shaping and molding factors in life. And sometimes what I find is just this, that someone's life is shaped or framed by something or someone. And after a lot of lengthy conversations, and sometimes we don't always get to it in conversation one or two or even three, but eventually we get to it. And what we come to discover is just this, and sometimes it's a big point of self-discovery or self-awareness for somebody, or for a couple or a family. It's just this, that there is something or someone that shapes their life, impacts their decisions, affects how they interact with other people, impacts what they do at work, how they interact with things or people or functions at school, and the list goes on. My question to you this morning, and maybe you haven't heard it this way before, or maybe you haven't thought about it this way before, so I'd like to ask you this morning, because I love you. Most importantly, Jesus loves you. What or who shapes your life? I'd like to invite you to think about the answer to that question for a moment, and I'd also like to invite you to think about how would the person who knows you best answer that question for you? Who or what shapes your life? Frames your decisions, guides your thoughts, your activities, your behaviors. Who or what shapes your life? Several years ago, I had the opportunity to serve a congregation on the western shore of Maryland, right next to the Chesapeake Bay. You could feel the salt and the warm air coming off the water certain times of year. And there are certain times of year when I'm in Fort Wayne, Indiana, where beachfront ministry sounds really good, especially right now. No offense. But it was during that time that I met a guy by the name of Clayton. And over the course of the time that we had the chance to get to know each other, I started to hear certain things spill out from his life story. Things that were defining factors, things that kind of served as the framework for how he felt, what he did, how he thought, how he acted, how he interacted with other people, and how he looked at himself when he got up in the morning. And over the course of a number of conversations, this is what started to come out in response to that question of who or what shapes your life. This is what I was hearing. Things like loneliness shapes my life. Desertion shapes my life. All these people that I thought were my friends and even my family who always said, call us if you need help. They haven't been there. People who say, when you're going through it, just give me a call and I'll be there. The distance from your house to mine, it ain't that far. But then when push came to shove, they were gone. They weren't there. Things like put-downs shaped Clayton's life. Over a while, and maybe you've had this experience, and I hear this sometimes with our youth, and truth be told, even older youth, y'all. Over time, you start to collect a number of put-downs. They start to feel like mud on the bottom of your shoe. And then you start to walk through life, and you start to get really tired and emotionally taxed. And as one clinician and Christian counselor puts it, not my wife, but the Christian counselor said this, at a certain point, we start to believe the lies. We start to believe the untruths. So over a while, these put-downs started to shape and mold Clayton's life. Other things like addiction. Do you know somebody who's struggling with addiction? Are you struggling with addiction? Clayton was looking for a little direction at the bottom of a bottle, or maybe sometimes in other areas. And sometimes, and in some ways, some of these things started to shape and mold, frame his life. Other things started to shape his life, like a loss of purpose. Not that God told him at any point in time, you don't have any value anymore, Clayton, but over time, because of the list above, he started to feel that way. And some of the talk from the people around him, the toxic folks around him, started to become part of the self-monologue he was telling himself, that he wasn't worth it, that nobody had time for him. Then why bother? There's no purpose for my life. And all of that can kind of trickle down to the last one you see on the screen in front of you this morning, this feeling of worthlessness. See, over time, if those things are in your life constantly, you start to believe the lies, don't you? I hope that's not the case with you, but maybe someone here today, maybe you've been told enough lies to the point where you started to choke on it, and you started to feel like so much that has shaped your life, that's who you are. A number of times, truth be told, I had to kind of push back from the table with Clayton and said, my heart is heavy for you, because it sounds like there are a lot of all the wrong things in your life that have been shaping your life. My question to you this morning is this: who or what shapes your life? Who or what shapes your life, directs your thoughts, affects your patterns of behavior, how you are when you get up in the morning, before you've had your coffee, and maybe even after you've had your coffee? When life kind of rolls you like a wave of the Chesapeake Bay, when friends aren't your friends, when family really aren't acting like family, when the comments and the put-downs start to rain in your life like a bad Midwest storm, my question to you this morning is this: who or what shapes your life? This past week, who or what has been shaping your life? This morning in our gospel text from Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 32, St. Luke gives us a glimpse of someone who has a lot of shaping and molding and framing factors in his life. And this guy's name is Simeon. And Simeon's life is defined by all the right things. Now, Simeon's a guy just like us, or a normal person just like us. In fact, in the gospel, he's kind of painted this way. There is a man in Jerusalem. Quite the billing, right? That'll draw a crowd. There's a man in Jerusalem. But here's the cool thing. Because of God's shaping and molding factors in his life, he has all the right qualifications. And more specifically, he has the right qualifications because of who is framing his life. In Luke's gospel account, we hear this, and I'd like to pull your attention back once again to the screen and take a look at this. And I'd like for you to look and to listen once again for those things that are shaping and molding and defining Simeon's life. Because I want you to see what God is seeking to do in your life and in my life today. Shape and mold and guide and frame your life with all the right things. This is what we hear. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Sounds to me like Simeon is waiting. Maybe some of you are waiting. Some of you are waiting to get the results back from a test. Some of you are waiting to see how things are going to pan out in a relationship. Some of you are waiting to see how things are going to play out at work. Some of you are waiting to see what's this new semester, this new quarter of school, what's it going to look like? Some of you are waiting. My question to you, in light of all those shaping and molding and framing factors, is just this: how are you waiting? How would those who know you best describe your waiting? Are you an antsy waiter? Impatient? A little rough around the edges? Push comes to shove, it's come back later? Or is it you're a joyful waiter? You ever met someone who you'd characterize as the eternal optimist? You ever met someone like that? Those are fun people to be around, right? Truth be told, we need to be surrounded by mortals, but maybe more importantly, we need to be that kind of person for somebody else. And maybe, just maybe, there's someone in your life who needs you to be that person, needs you to give them something that can help shape and guide and frame their life that maybe they aren't receiving anywhere else. For Simeon, this is exactly what's going on in his life. What's shaping and molding and guiding and directing his life is God's faithfulness to him and his promise. And the promise made to Simeon is just this: he won't pass away until he sees God's Messiah. And if there's anything worth waiting for, it's God's Messiah. Because when God's Messiah is there, it's a game changer. And there's not a need to have other things define or shape or frame your life. And when those lies come in, you can push them away. When the temptation comes to pull your focus to something else that will ultimately hurt you or others, you can appeal to Christ, who knows what you're going through, as we heard through our second reading today from Hebrews. Jesus knows what you're going through. What I find over the years is one of the biggest heartaches that walks into my office is just this, apart from not knowing Christ, is just this, not feeling understood or heard. Would you believe that? One of the biggest heartaches or areas of spiritual heartburn that people have is not feeling heard or understood. Years ago, when I was going through seminary, I heard about a seminarian, a pastor who had gone through seminary years and years before me. And do you know what he did as a part-time job? He took out an ad in the local St. Louis paper, and he said, "I will listen, and here's my rate." And you're probably thinking, yeah, right. You know, people are just going to pay you and come and, you know, basically pay you to listen. Would you believe his calendar was always full? See, deep down, I think you need to feel heard. I think deep down, maybe you want to hear from somebody that you're not alone in what you're going through. Maybe, just maybe, you want to hear that no matter how ugly it gets, no matter how messy it gets, no matter how much life rolls you, no matter how many put-downs have come in your corner, there's somebody else who has the ability and is willing to change the landscape of life and ministry for you. Maybe, just maybe, that's where you're at today. But maybe, just maybe, there's someone in your life who needs a different shaping factor. Maybe someone in your life needs Jesus from you. Now, pull your attention back to the screens real quick. Verses 27 to 28. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God. And if you follow with the rest of that passage, you hear how Simeon just kind of cries out from his heart, "Thank you, God, for giving hope to the whole world. Thank you, God, for giving the world a hope that's not defined by how much money is in your bank account. Thank you, God, for giving a hope to the world that doesn't rest on what I do or what I don't do. Thank you, God, for a hope that looks past my baggage and my mistakes. Thank you, God, that no matter how much I've allowed my life to be shaped and molded and defined by all the wrong stuff, even when everybody else has left me, you're still with me." In not so many words, that's what Simeon says when he holds Jesus. My question to you this morning is, how do you respond when you hold Jesus? So here's what God's going to do for you in a little bit. God's going to invite you to come forward to receive the body and blood of his son, Jesus Christ, for you. And here's the cool thing. It's not based on what you've done or what you haven't done this week. It's not about what title you have or don't have. It's not about where you've been or where you're going. It's about God's unconditional love for you through his son, Jesus. And God's desire for you and for me this morning is that your life and my life would be shaped by all the right things, not the put-downs, not the questions of purpose or self-worth, not the bumps, not the bruises, not the heartaches, not the waves, not the questions, not the uncertainty, but by the guarantee of hope for you and for me through Jesus. Simeon's life, if you haven't heard it already, is shaped by the unwavering hope of God for him in Jesus. And this is God's desire for you, that your life would be shaped and guided and framed by the hope of God for you in Jesus Christ. And it's a gift. I think back to my interaction with Clayton, and here's the rest of his story. Clayton was driving by our congregation around Christmas Eve, around this time of year. And leading up to that point in time, we hadn't met each other just yet. But it's funny what parts of the story and the big picture you hear a little bit later. So that night, Christmas Eve, our congregation had elected to put on a live nativity. And so what we did was we gathered all these handy people together, and we built a live nativity, and we called in a favor from one of the families in the congregation who raised alpacas, and we had a couple live alpacas. And I'm not sure scripturally there are alpacas with baby Jesus, but anyway, it was what it was. But one of the really cool things about this was that we got dumped on with snow. You're probably thinking, okay, you're a little off your rocker this morning. Well, what this allowed us to do was to put something in the backdrop of white that really popped. The congregation was sitting on a hill, much like Praise Lutheran is. And right in front of the congregation was, and still is, last time I checked, Highway 4, four-lane highway that runs up to Washington, D.C. And then right at the intersection there, right in front of the church property, is a road that kind of juts off to the northeast, and it takes you to Annapolis. That's Highway 2. But right here at this intersection of traffic and life rests this congregation with this really great hill that's just blanketed with snow. So what we did was we dug a little hole out, and we raised up this live nativity. And then one of the guys who's in the military says, well, I have this old communications tower. Would you like to use that? And I'm like, well, do you even have to ask that question? Of course we want the tower. So he brings us out, and on top of this, we hoist this really, really big star. And I could throw a bunch of other pictures out there, but maybe I'll just describe it this way. No matter which way you came from, you saw the star. If you were coming from Annapolis, from a distance, you saw the star. If you're traveling north towards D.C., you saw the star. If you were driving south, guess what you saw? Well, you saw snow, but you also saw the star. And at night, it was really cool because you couldn't see the post and the pole and the tower. All you saw was the light, and it was good. And the light pointed you down to the manger. And you know who you saw in the manger? You saw baby Jesus. So here's Clayton. And he's had all these other things swirling around his life and his heart and his head, shaping his life. The put-downs, the comments, the questions of value and worth and identity and purpose and so on. And he's driving down this four-lane highway, and here's what I found out later. Clayton was driving past the church that night, and he was going to go home, and he was going to take his own life. Because, you see, over time, he had started to believe the lies. He believed the put-downs. He interpreted all the other times when no one was there for him as a reflection of he's not worth time. So he's driving past this church in the middle of this intersection with this giant star, and he tells me this afterwards. He says, I was driving home that night to commit suicide because I felt like there was nothing more. But when I got home, I thought about that star. And I felt like I had to go back. See, what you don't know, too, is that during the course of our worship services that night, we had volunteers who would kind of go out in shifts and kind of play their part, telling the story, sharing the hope, letting others see what kind of frames our Christian life. So when Clayton pulls up into the parking lot, he takes the walk up the hill. And he sees the cast that's pictured for you in the picture on the screens up front. And he meets God's people. And he hears something different. And he receives the invitation to walk down the hill with somebody and to walk into worship with somebody. And when he is in worship, do you know what he hears? There's something and somebody else in life who wants to shape and frame your life. And the result is this. There are no more put-downs. There's no more sense of, am I worth it or not? There's no more question of purpose in life. There's no more loneliness or isolation. What he heard was just this, that God desired to shape his life for the rest of his life through Jesus Christ and the hope that he brings. And would you believe that word of hope in Jesus was enough to change his life? To the point where if you were to approach Clayton today, he would say this. Today, my life is shaped by Jesus Christ. Clayton and I talk to each other around this time every year, every Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. We met each other in 2010, so it's been a while. And it brings me a lot of joy to hear from him that he himself participates in this live nativity. And for him, it wasn't enough just to have this shaping going on in his life. He wants others to be shaped by the hope of God for him in Jesus Christ. Because you see, how can you not want for somebody else what Jesus Christ has done for you? My question to you this week is just this. Who or what will shape your life? Will the grace of God for you in Jesus Christ and his promise of undying hope for you, will that shape your life? Will that affect your thoughts? Will that affect how you interact with others? Will that affect you in areas of forgiveness and hopefulness and identity and more? Will that so move you to share Jesus with somebody else? Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for shaping our lives through the work of your Holy Spirit and your word for us. God, it's there. Hope is there. Forgive us for the times when we've tried to find hope in all the wrong places and all the wrong people. All the times we've tried to find hope in what we do. Tried to find hope in all the wrong people, all the wrong stuff. Father, we pray for help today. We've ingested and we've taken in a lot of the wrong shaping factors. And maybe, just maybe, some of us here today have begun to buy into the lie. But Father, we pray today that you would bring your gospel truth. We pray today that you would bring freedom and liberation for your people. We pray today that as we come forward to receive the body and blood of Christ, Lord, how can we not but walk away having had our lives shaped by hope for us in Jesus? And how can we not help but live that hope out before all people? So, Father, if we've been living a life that's apart from you, bring it to an end. If we've been involved with activities or behaviors that are not consistent with you or your word for us, bring it to an end. If we've been acting in ways that don't reflect the hope of God for us in your church, bring it to an end. Make us, we pray, to be a congregation shaped and framed by the hope of God for us in Jesus Christ. And may we say with others of faith like Simeon, you now dismiss us to do the gospel work. Grant this to us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.